What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Well Read Beard Podcast. I am Red Beard, aka Uncle Daddy, aka Drew Dollars. As many of you know, I am flying solo this week and the weeks thereafter for a little while as Corey and Trey are across the pond, isn't it, Governor? But if you're stuck here stateside like me, whether it's issues related to passports, poverty, or pernicious, I got nothing. I ran out of P words. Pussy was the only thing I could think of. Hey, my dad said that before. What am I saying? I'm saying we got a great show today. Carmen Morales, who you know and love, is going to be on. She's going to be co-piloting with me for at least a couple episodes, maybe more. And we're getting a lot of good stuff. Just want to plug some show dates real quick that I have, okay? Get your well-read fix one third at a time. Nashville, June 1st. That's a Wednesday. Need you guys to come out. Going to be a big time. Want them to have me back. Come on out to Nashville on June 1st. You can get tickets, by the way, at drewmorgancomedy.com. What else we got? Asheville, without the N. Asheville, North Carolina, June 4th. I know a lot of people are going to be there. A couple people are flying in for that. June 10th in Chattanooga at the Cherry Street Tavern. And June 22nd at Avondale Brewing, I think it is, in Birmingham, Alabama. So that's four spots coming up in June. You can come see me. Nashville, Asheville, Chattanooga, Birmingham. I will be with who? DJ Lewis. At all those spots. He of Maced in the Butthole fame. Doesn't that sound amazing? Aren't you guys excited about that? DJ's very funny. He's funnier live than he is on this podcast. So if you've ever enjoyed a DJ story, whether it be chicken fishing or getting maced in the butthole, come see us live. You're going to enjoy that even more. And I got all new jokes. Mostly new jokes. Got a lot of new taglines. So yeah, come see us out there. DrewMorganComedy.com for tickets. Hey, let's get this show going. It's the Well Read Beard Podcast.
They're the liberal rednecks. They like corn bread, mud, sex. They care way too much, but don't give a fuck. They're the liberal rednecks. That makes some people upset, but they got three big old dicks that you can suck.
Welcome to the Well Read Podcast. Well, Red Beard is what I've decided to call it for this month. I don't know if that's because my beard is red or I'm acting as some sort of cover for Trey and Corey's relationship.
I think you're definitely doing that. We are on a very lovely couple's vacation right now.
Yeah, paid. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
It's pretty. It's nice.
It's really lovely what they've got going on. They're soulmates. This has been addressed before on here. Mm-hmm. Corey was trying to hit me with some kind of bullshit about how I don't like anything. And I was like, I know I like lots of things. I just don't like all the same things that you two like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're soulmates.
Yeah. I'm sorry I'm not part of this throuple. You know, yeah. You guys have a thing. It's undeniable.
It is. It's undeniable. I would love to be a part of it, but I don't want to go to fucking Marvel movies every weekend and then stay up late eating Doritos and drinking red wine. You know what I mean? Once a month, it sounds good.
Yeah. But all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how they've kind of turned into those, because they haven't always been like that. Not all of the parts that I'm seeing now.
Well, wow, we're just spilling the tea. So we got ourselves a little Boston Tea Party. Welcome to the show, Carmen Morales.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Hi, Well Read folks.
Oh, man, you guys know her, you love her. I'm wearing her t-shirt if you're watching on the internet that HBO gave me. It says HBO on the back, right?
Yeah, it does.
Do you remember what I did when they offered it to me? Well, I was talking to you, but they were standing right there. They were like, you want a t-shirt? I was like, oh, no, I'm good. And then I looked, and Brad Williams had on one, and I saw the front, your quote.
Yeah.
I just in the back where it said HBO. And I go, oh, I just thought it said fucking HBO. Let me get one. And I turn, and they're standing there still holding them. And I was like, thank you. Thank you, people.
Thank you. I'll take it. I'll take it now. It changed everything.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't want your trash merch. I want her trash merch.
I want a
merch.
Fucking HBO t-shirt. Oh, it's got Carmen's name on it. I'll take it.
If you guys don't know what he's referring to, I just had my big HBO debut. It's called Entre Nos. It's me and another comedian, Alfred Robles, and we do stand-up and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. I thought that was part of a series. That's just the name of your...
No, it is like a series.
Okay, yeah, cool.
It's kind of like a Latinx Comedy Central Presents, essentially, yeah. Where they're just showcasing like a bunch of different kind of Latin comedians.
Right, and so there's other episodes. You mm-hmm. and he are just on this. You just share an episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 15 minutes a piece?
Yep, we each do 15. Yeah. And what's cool is I just did a bunch of shows in... Where the hell was I just at? In like Plano, Texas. And then I got to do that whole thing where go watch the thing. I didn't do any of the material that I did tonight, you know, yeah. And be able to be like, hey, you can hear other stuff.
Pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Did they pick the material for you or did you pick it?
No. The producer for this is so cool. He wants you to do whatever you want. It's like you know, not an annoying kind of diversity that he's looking for. It's like more diversity of thought versus, you know, checking boxes. Yeah. So like
a lot of white and black guys on Entree Nouveau.
No, I just mean in the sense that it's not all like, hey, we are Latinos. You know, where it's he very much understands that there's different kinds, like, and you know, there's Latin nerds and there's like soft spoken. It's not all like the stereotypes of and that's the part of that I really like, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially because a lot of people don't know this, but like Latin people are the people that spend the most money demographic wise.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's an untapped market.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So
I wish I knew enough Spanish to make a joke right now.
Oh, pues sí, come to my Joe.
Yo soy broke.
Sí, me gusta los Spanish people. Please come to see me. Do the comedies too.
That's so great.
You just start getting an X and all of a sudden it's a different one.
Right. Yeah. Well, I grew up on Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, me too.
That was my introduction to your people.
It was also my introduction to a pothead because Slowpoke Rodriguez was definitely a stoner without question, I think.
Actually, I think I identified more with him back then. Now I'm definitely high strung like Speedy.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid, you know, Speedy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like the area. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I want to be like that.
Yeah, he was the slow guy. And then it was just like, and then if anybody fucked with him, he would just shoot him. He never ran away.
Now I know why I'm not going to run away.
He never ran away or anything like that. He just, he was just aware. Mm-hmm. No, I'll kill you.
Yeah. I'm not going to chase you.
It was like a nice calmness about him. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Just speak calmly and carry a big gun.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it was. Yeah.
He liked Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations. Tell people where can find it. I think you can do it on the app. We did it on Max, HBO, I think. HBO Max. I get confused because HBO has too many things.
Yes, I get it. It's on HBO Max. It's streaming. They did air it on HBO, regular HBO. So we got some regular HBO play.
Oh, that's cool.
When it first dropped. And then now it's just available to stream on HBO Max. So you can watch it whenever you want.
You get a free trial, too, if you don't have it.
Yeah, if you don't have it, use somebody else's login or, get the trial, but set an alarm on your phone so you remember to cancel it. So then you're not like, fuck you, Carmen. Right. Now I have it for another month.
So if you don't have any money, use someone else's. If you don't have enough personality to get laid, then do the free trial.
Yep.
If you don't have a phone or a computer, I don't know how you're listening right now.
Honestly. I don't either. Mm-hmm. But congratulations.
Yeah. You feel good about it, though?
Yeah, I do.
You should.
It's so good. Thanks.
You and Brian Simpson have, I think, two of the best, like, I don't know, introductions to the world. It's so good. Your pacing was excellent. I don't want to say I was nervous for you because I knew you do a great job, but like I would worry about pacing, even in my own special, which I don't know when it comes out or what it'll be on. But I was like being mindful of you got to kind of slow down for TV.
Oh, you have to, which sucks because I already talk fast as it is.
Right.
Especially when I want,
slow down.
Well, I think I was even slower because that was the whole thing. Is he was like, you could do your jokes as fast as you want, just make sure you pause in between each one. But even then, it was a Ron Funches note, you know, where I was just like, he's so slow and gets so many, like, rings out so many laughs out of all the jokes he does.
Yeah,
that yeah, I mean, all the sets I did leading up to it, I was going way faster. I don't know how I pulled it off being slower, but it worked out.
It worked out really well. You were calm, you were confident. You did great. Everybody go watch it. And then you guys can get a shirt like this, but I don't know if you can. Did you take them? Did you take the extras to sell as merch?
Of, they're in my car. Yeah, if you want. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll do, I'm going to do, because I made merch to go with one of the jokes from the HBO thing. And then in the taping, I didn't do the second half of the joke, which is where the merch is based on.
Oh, no.
But luckily.
Now you can do it in your live act, bro.
Sure, sure. But I only did like a limited, it's prayer candles. So it's like a pain in the ass. So I was like, I'm only making 100 of them. Whoever wants one gets one as like a thing for when this comes out. And then that's it. So, but they're going to give me the clip. Cause in the first show, we only did two shows.
Okay.
And they didn't splice either show together, but it's just my second show. I think they shaved off maybe 30 seconds. He said,
wow.
So not even like a bit.
No. And there was no back and forth. They just were like, here you go.
He was like, I loved because the first show, my friend Katie was with me. And she was like, the first show was like surgery. She was like, you were just so concise and everything. And the second show, because it was like open bar. And I was like, I had a Uncut Gems movie happen up until we recorded. Like so many things went wrong. It was such an incredibly stressful week. I had Katie on my podcast and I just laid everything out because everybody was like, how'd it go? I'm like, go listen to the podcast because I don't want to relive it again. It's no, sir. I don't like it. Yeah. It's just the episode's called How'd It Go. Yeah. And it's me and Katie because she was there for all of that bullshit. But I had a needle in my foot. I didn't have a dress to wear. Like my garment wasn't there until like 6:15 when we started filming at 7. It was like a bunch. There was like that same day I had to find like a person to do my hair. All this, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And then it all ended up like coming together and it worked out and it was fine. But
was the foot needle related to the garment problem?
No, it was not.
Okay. Like I thought maybe you had a tailoring issue in general.
No, I had left my phone at the venue the night before and I went back to go look for it. And there was a sewing needle on the floor and it went through my boot and into my foot.
I just got chills.
Yeah. And I had to pull it out. And had like a dinner with HBO that I was already late for during all this. So it was like, it was a nightmare.
Oh, Carmen. You need to slow down.
See. Hold on, so it was like a bunch of things that happened. But then it was like, so by the second show, once I thought that I had it the first show, like after Katie kind of gave me that reassurance, because she would have told me, you know, that was the other reason why I liked her there. She would have been honest with me if something was shitty.
Ooh, that's important, but scary.
Yeah.
One of the biggest moments of your life professionally up until that point. And then someone's like, he didn't nail it.
Yeah.
He did not do it well. You know what I mean?
Well, she would have been more specific than you sucked, you know? That's a bad person to bring to something like that.
Right.
But somebody was like, hey, you maybe went too fast or whatever. Mm-hmm. So for the second show, you know, just to redirect, correct it. But it was open bar. So by then I was like, two or three cocktails in.
Yep.
And so I was just loose on the second show.
Two shots of tequila and a beer before our second taping where I was completely sober for the first one. And the second one was definitely better in the room. We did a lot of splicing. I did a lot of, hey, use this and do that. Mm-hmm. And my problem is, you know, I'll leave a word out here that really affects the thing later. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man, but I'm a head case.
I get that. And I mean, in hindsight, there's the words that I admit I left out that were like, would have been better, you know, that would have made it the joke way better, a more concise, you know, painted a better picture or whatever, but that's always going to happen. I knew that going into it. I knew it was like, this is not going to be perfect. It's just going to be a good representation and having to like talk myself down from that. But it was still fun.
Do you know Gene Getman from New York? Did you ever meet him?
I don't think so.
He used to host a mic at the Stand. That's where I met him.
Mm-hmm.
He used to say, when you got something important come up, you recede 1 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. So you have to be more than 1 to 3 years past whatever you're getting to actually be ready for it.
Oh, wow.
Like if you've got an audition, you're going back a year to 3 years. Like if you've got like a big taping, you're going back a year because of the nerves and all that. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some truth to that, you know, and I kind of had to let it go too, where it was like, well, it was good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's funny.
And since this is like 7 years, I think I was prepared for this 7 years ago. So I think that's why
I think that's probably accurate. Especially because it's 15, right?
Suck. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why it was like, oh wow, it looks good. Is the same thing with Brian? Like,
is that
Brian
a true seven?
A long time.
Or is it five? And I only met you about 7 years ago, and you seem ready to me. But what I mean by that is, I feel like in comedy, I've thought I was ready for stuff, mm-hmm. and then I was probably actually ready a year later or 2 years later.
I actually just picked a number, but sure.
Yeah. Oh wow, you've been road dogging it for a bit.
Yeah, for a long sure. time.
Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I know the well-read fans are. I know that they know you. And I know that the End of the Abiscuit fans who are listening also know you very well.
Well, and I adore them. Yeah. I mean, I've gouged a lot of people from you guys, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, you've also, you know, you make me, and I think I've always appreciated our fans. I hope I have, but you've made me appreciate it more when you say that we have, I think the word you use, the kindest fans that you've ever experienced.
Yeah, you guys, like, they're like, it's like it is the nicest parts of a cult where there's like a sense of community, but it's not too they're not too weird, you know. Like they don't send me bizarre, like fucked up messages.
Oh
like,
man, I don't want to put anybody on blast, but I've been getting some lately. Love it, and I'm actually didn't tweet it out. I put it in my drafts because I want to put some time between what happened. You know what I mean?
So nobody knows exactly who it is.
Yeah. But there's nothing better than when a fan starts messaging you during the middle of a mania set.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Where at first they send you like a message and you kind of know them, you're friendly with them, you message back, and then there's like 40 messages later.
Yeah, way too much. I used
to be like, I'm not reading that. This is weird. I don't want to. This is a parasocial relationship. I get in my head, and now I'm like, ooh, bring the goods to daddy.
Yeah.
You gonna send me a nude, and then 30 minutes later invite me to your 8-year-old's birthday party? Fuck yes. This is what I'm here for. Bring it on.
Just unbridled mental illness for you to enjoy.
And it's like, I could be like, why would they send that to me? No, we know why. Yeah. We know why the unbridled mental illness is coming my way.
Yep.
I deserve it, and I like it, and I appreciate it. I don't want anyone who thinks this is about them. Several people could think this is about them to get upset right now. I fucking love it. Keep on bringing it at me.
Well, it was like I did because I had to do promotion, promotional for all this. So I was doing a bunch of podcasts and stuff, and I was on Joey Diaz, and then like literally hours after it posted, I get a message from a dude that's like, "Come to Maui so I can stick my tongue in your ass." And I was like, "Oh, thanks." And then I just responded, "I hope you watched my Entrenos on HBO."
And what does Entrenos translate as?
Entrenos means within us, like among us.
Yeah. I thought it meant within us, so I was trying to get to a joke about the tongue.
Yeah. But yeah, it's more like, you know, es esto entre nosotros. Like,
is it FUBU for us by us?
Between us, yeah.
It's Latino FUBU for us by us.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, what women have to go through, because there's the added element sometimes of fear. So what I'm about to say, I'm trying to empathize, but recognizing it's not the same. Mm-hmm. Gay men send me the wildest shit, publicly, privately, the wildest shit.
Yeah.
They will just say anything. And I think there's even an extra level of comfort there because they know I'm not afraid. You know, there's no you might freak her out.
Yeah.
Clearly the guy in Maui didn't have any of that in him, though.
Yeah.
What's the wildest thing you've ever had sent to you? I mean, that one's pretty good.
I mean, I think I talked about it on one of the church shows that we did. But the wildest one is because it was multiple people that all said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Is like a bunch of dudes hit me up and said they wanted to fuck my eyebrows. And I was like, man, I'd never heard that. It was just I've heard tongue in my ass. You know, when I want to fuck your, I want to suck on your toes. I want to fuck your feet, whatever. Like, I've heard all of the things that are based in reality, but I had never heard more than one person tell me that they wanted to fuck my eyebrows.
We talking five, we talking 10. If they were roaches,
no,
you'd have a problem.
No, it's probably like five. It'd be like, see, either five, because I'm like, Jesus.
If it was bugs in your house, you'd call the pest control.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it was like five.
That's definitely one of those things that those men realized they were into while horny.
Yeah.
They weren't sitting at dinner and like, look, and they saw like the waitress's eyebrows and were like, I think I want to fuck those. Like, you're already horny. Do you know what I mean? Because like, when you're already horny, your brain's different.
You know what I mean? It's just like, I just love her fucking Converse.
Right.
Yeah. What? That's definitely not a category.
That was real specific. You might have some Converse.
No, I wear them. So
right.
Just trying to think of what other things that would be innocuous.
Well, even anal, the origin of it. Mm-hmm. Like, now that it's around and people talk about it, you hear about it from like 12 years old on.
Yeah.
Sure. But the first person who was like, I want to stick my dick in the butthole, was horny when they thought that. And the person who led them was horny when they led them. You know what I mean? Right. Like, no one unhorny. Just, you know, if you've never heard of anal before, it's the wildest thing.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
It sounds painful. Is what it sounds
and
like.
Gross.
I mean, yeah, poop on your dick.
Yeah, and it's the poop
hole. Well, yeah, and it's also, like, probable that poop gets on your dick, you know, unless you're douching your butt. And if you're not douching your butt, unless you already do anal, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody thinks to do that.
Yeah,
that's the type of hygiene, I think, that's just very specific to that. Or giving yourselves enemas or something. I always thought of that as, like, an old person thing, an enema.
My grandmother had her douche just out on the back of her toilet where everybody could see it.
My fucking grandmother did too. I had no idea what that sack was for the longest time, and I never wanted to know. I didn't ask.
It was a literal douchebag. I think I knew what a douchebag was in the bro sense before I realized that that's what my grandmother had on the back of her toilet.
And you're like, oh, that's what I've been calling. That's what I've been calling Tom this whole time.
Yeah, if a person, not you, were to let someone fuck their eyebrows, what steps would that person need
to take? Well, that's that's where the bit goes.
Logistically. That's right.
Do I do it? You know, do you push them together like it's titty fucking? You know,
brow cleavage.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's like a furrowed brow is like foreplay, I guess. Yeah.
That's a new segment on Pornhub. Furrowed. Yeah,
that's a furrowed.
You said the furry community.
I love it when she's disappointed
community.
In me. Oh yeah, push them together.
Scallop me, baby.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, welcome to the Well-Read Beard podcast. I am the Red Beard, Drew Morgan. I am taking over. If you don't know why, we talked about it last week, so I guess you missed that episode. But Corey and Trey are gallivanting around.
They're having the time of their lives in the UK right now, getting fancy as
fuck. We assume. I mean, they might be miserable, you know?
I doubt it.
I don't. There's no way.
Yeah, there's no way.
No, they're on a paid vacation with the
They're balls deep in their history nerddom. They're having so much fun.
That's also a new thing for Corey, I think. Like, sometimes I think he's Mr. Ripley. I'm glad, like, you earlier, you were saying something like, these feel like new things.
Yeah, some things are.
Some of these things, feel new to Corey. Sometimes I think he's Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I had somebody I could talk to about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I knew Corey when he was a mess.
Yeah.
Like, years and years ago.
Right.
I mean, an unbridled mess, like a wild and free, you know, just a.
And it's like he met Trey, and it's like, now he's in the history and nerdy stuff and cares about black people. It's like all these things he didn't care about.
Listen, I'm for it.
Yeah.
It's just new.
It's a good change.
Good change.
It's a good change.
Good change.
We're having too much fun.
We are.
At his expense.
We love him.
Yeah, he's having a good time.
Yeah.
I hope they are. I'm sure they are. I think they're doing a book, but I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that. Let me move. I think they're not supposed to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know how it is when the projects are on the down low.
Yep.
Was that
you
a thing for you?
You don't want to violate an NDA. I get that.
Were you, like, not allowed to talk about that until a certain point? Or
nope.
Was it so quick? I feel like out of pandemic, it was like, no, start promoting. We're getting this done.
Yeah. I think there was just certain things I couldn't share. There were like certain images and like stuff like that.
Right.
But the producer was like, oh, we don't care.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
And then I was even like, I was like, there's like a version of a joke or something that's already out on the internet. Cause like some people seem to care about that, but they didn't. They were like, it's fine.
Yeah. It's like, they're like, listen, we didn't hear about it. You know, like, it didn't go viral enough for us to see it upon first glance of checking you out. So we don't care. That makes sense to me. I mean, that's kind of the attitude I've been taking about some stuff, too. I've even put out a few lines that are on the special, and no one said anything to me yet, and maybe they will at some point. But I'm just like, worst case scenario, this goes viral, and people want to go, where can we see more of this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, buddy, I
think that was the mentality
for you.
Yeah, I think that's the mentality now. It's like, just because you got to constantly make stuff and put stuff out, so it's like, what are they going to go through all of it?
Yep.
No, that's like, only a crazy person will do that. Like the person that went through every episode of Rogan and cut him saying the N-word every single time over the 10 years of podcasting. That's a crazy person.
Yeah.
So I think if anybody's going to go through all of my shit, then they're probably not. I mean, I don't have that much.
But. Yeah, you only said the N-word 3 times. No, it was 0. We better make sure our fans understand what jokes are. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. Our fans are pretty good about that at this point. I think early on we had some fans who were a little, pearl clutchy. I mean, we're pretty, by the book. We don't have any N-word clips, yeah. I don't think, yeah. online. That's not entirely true. Trey used to say it when he would tell a story, and somebody said it a story, mm-hmm. and then he stopped doing that after somebody was like, here's why I think you should stop. And he was mm-hmm. like, cool. So there's definitely some clips out there. I mean, like, literally, I think the first episode of the Well Read podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't need to get into that.
It's okay.
I did want to ask you about a few things, though. This little clip went viral, and I feel like you're the, I don't know, perfect comedian in my mind to ask about this kind of thing.
Okay.
And you've even got some bits about this, and I'm not going to quote you because I'll misdo it. Okay. But to paraphrase you, you're a broad. You're a fucking broad.
I am a broad.
But you're into dudes.
Yes.
So when it comes to gender, you like see things a little differently than
a lot of people. Also have a chemical imbalance that basically.
Right. I didn't want to bring that up.
I'm chemically a they, them without consent. Like,
right.
I was forced into a they, them before that was even a thing.
Right.
So I've just been confusing both other genders.
Because of testosterone.
Because of my testosterone, for sure.
All right. And this isn't about that. This isn't about that type of gender thing. It's just that asking you your opinion on what these men said is going to be funny to me. Okay. So we're doing it. Let me get my volume turned up and get ready. What if it froze right now? Like everything we've done today. Carmen and I have been trying to record for an hour. Quote is basically girls have sex with whoever they want, guys have sex with whoever they can.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic there, I suppose, being that women get to choose their sexual partners, and since they do, men will take whatever they can get when they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but then the flip side of that, that this brilliant mind, I didn't show you what they look like on purpose, I'm going to show you in a few minutes. Not that they're like not attractive or anything, but the flip side of that is that men get to choose who they marry. And women have to marry whoever.
If men get to choose who they marry, why do so many men I know got married out of an ultimatum if they get to choose who they marry?
There's so many things untrue about what these folks
are saying. Yeah, I mean, I think this is a thing for them to justify them being rejected a bunch when they were and also that's not true. I've been turned down by guys that I wanted to fuck and didn't want anything else from that. Like, that's like a common, I think guys like to think that to make themselves feel better about being rejected. And, but I don't think that that's true. I think, you can't just have anybody, you can't just fuck anybody.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever, and even if you're a super attractive person, because like beauty is subjective and stuff like that. Like there's people that I fuck that are way out of my league where I'm like, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. But
he could argue that goes to his point. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You fucked who you wanted and he fucked who he could that night or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that they probably weren't actually out of your league. You just perceived them that way.
Sure.
And I'm not just saying that to be nice to you. Like I'm saying like, so people just attracted to different things.
That's what I'm saying. All of that, to me, that when they could have been like, man, she was like the fucking coolest person I ever, like, and they're like nervous about, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, so it's an exchange. I think there's like a balance there in like, it's all about like, I think priorities and perspective, like, and depending on what your priorities are, as far as what you find attractive and your perspective of what attractive is, I think that's how you get what you think is hot and what you don't think is hot.
I think that's true too. And I also wanted to say too, if we're speaking in generalities, you know, let's say, you know, they can say, okay, look, there's exceptions, but we're saying that generally speaking, this is what happens, right?
Sure.
I do think that there's not some truth in what they're saying. They're pointing out a thing and removing all of the context, which I think is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Case in point, and I'm not just saying this to like, you know, I don't know. Hey, Andy, can you make sure that's working? Because it froze on me. Thank you. And I can't open it without your thumbprint. by the way, Andy's here, who everyone says is out of my league, to my face, at least once a month.
Mm.
And I was going to do a bit about it. And I was like, I don't know if this is relatable. And then I saw on the internet the other day, John Stamos is apparently being told that his fucking admittedly young and beautiful wife is out of his league.
Mm-hmm.
John fucking Stamos.
Yeah, John Stamos. He was gorgeous. We all wanted to have sex. I mean, like everybody, so every gorgeous. Gender, every. He was one of those guys that was just clear across the board, undeniably attractive,
yes. Yes.
According to everyone. And so the fact that. And I mean, I think again, that goes with context. As you get older, there's still supposed to be limits, I think, to some people as far as what you're allowed to be with or the type of person you're allowed to be with. So I think that's also, I also think that's weird. Why does anybody have commentary on your partner anyways? It's really just commentary on them that they think they could never achieve what you have. And so they're upset about it, I think. I think that's a little bit of a jealousy thing and a little bit of a, why not me? Why not me?
Because you have the personality of a fucking toothbrush. You lose it right a goddamn jump.
Yeah.
But that aside, like going back to what those other cats were saying, I think that the small truth that they're observing and trying to turn into some hot take, and by the way, they apparently stole that. When you get on the comments, like they're some guy named whatever. Anyway, the small truth they're observing there is that as we age and we look at women and men, especially like when we hit about 30, just aesthetically, it looks like most women are settling. Like, do you know, it's just
well,
like,
it's also because young women accept a dude being a fucking mess too.
Which is like, the patriarchy.
Yeah. It's just like, we always have to be put together, like that pressure of always like having to be put together, all that stuff. And dudes don't have to do that. That of course, like if a woman maintains that and a dude fucking whatever.
Gains 40 pounds and is still wearing the fucking t-shirt he had on when he was 22.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's got a blown out armpit, but he doesn't care, right? I mean, I think I remember that one time my dad came to see my mom at work and he had a pair of blown out sweatpants. Like his butt was blown out. I was like, Dad, I could see your fucking BBDs, you know? Meanwhile, my mom's all fucking put together, makeup on, hair, did like the whole, I was just like, the fuck is wrong with you? You know?
He doesn't have to care.
Right. So I think there's that a societal thing on that. I also think what is really happening is they're just applying a kind of like a genderly immature mentality on the younger side of it and then just flipping it and applying it to the future, which is also not true.
Well, someone pointed out in the comments, this dude's literally saying his wife settled for him. That's literally what he's arguing.
Yeah,
about.
I mean, pretty much. Like,
and my thing with that is she probably did, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's not some kind of, like, ooh, magical reveal. They called it the red pill or whatever lame fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, if you get married late, that might have been what happened. Or you might have got lucky. But, like.
Yeah, or it might. Like, well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, contextually, for where I'm coming from, because I hang out with so many men because of, you know, in stand-up. When I started, there wasn't a lot of women doing it, and there wasn't a lot of women.
Not a lot of women.
It was
stand-up
still
comedy.
Yeah, I know. And they're crazy. And now it's different. Now there's a fuck ton of women, which is rad.
Too many, I would say.
I understand. You are a white man. I understand. It's very hard for you right now.
Yeah.
But I just mean in the sense that, like, all of these men always think that someone is settling for them. And I don't know if it's because they're insecure. Or, you know, but I also know that, like, the mentality of like getting what you can as you get older is boring. Like pussy becomes boring. Now it's just like, I want a chick that will watch anime with me or will fucking, you know.
And the reverse of that, it might be that a woman could fuck whoever she wanted when she was 22. Mm-hmm. And then she got a guy who wasn't quite as attractive as the dude she used to fuck. Maybe that's because those dudes were all assholes.
Yes.
And she started thinking, you know what?
Yeah.
A little belly fat's fine.
Yeah.
Can he play the drums though?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's the other thing, too, is, like, there will be those trends, like the dad bod trend and shit like that. It's never just like, oh, I love a bitch with hairy toes. You know, that's never a trend on the other side of it.
There is a reason for that coming from the sort of reverse idea of patriarchy or whatever. And obviously, wouldn't trade places.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this weird pressure on men. We're not, like, it's not that we're not allowed, but we will be kind of ridiculed. The old joke is like, oh yeah, fucking a fat girl is like riding a scooter. It's a lot of fun as long as your friends don't see.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, think about the context of that. We literally get made fun of if we openly are attracted to anything outside of the norm. That's why men type secret messages about fucking eyebrows.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all that. Like, I mean, look, this isn't coming from me. I've heard numerous larger women talk about how like really attractive guys are into them, but embarrassed that they're into them. Don't want anyone to know, which is so sad. obviously it's heartbreaking for the woman, and that's worse. Mm-hmm. But it's a little heartbreaking that a man feels that way. Like, imagine being good looking, charming, all these things. I mean, and then the person you want to fuck, you have to hide them because the world says they're not good enough for you. Or
I feel like that shame comes with a lot of things. I mean, I do a bit about guys that like feet because it's the same thing. Like,
yeah.
If you're not choosing what you're attracted to, if you're not choosing that, you know, your sexuality, if that's not a choice,
yeah,
then I feel like that goes through the whole spectrum of it. You know, like, I don't think that you're just like, I don't think sexuality is a catalog that we're all thumbing through, mm-hmm, and like choosing, you know, like, I think I'll be into women for a while, you know, and then I think I'll be into, like, I don't think it's like that at all. I think you're just kind of like, that made my parts tingle.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that. And then you just have to deal with that. And sometimes, like, and I think this, even on the extreme sense, I think there's people who are into things that are really fucked up, i.e. pedophilia and stuff like that, where right, it's like, I think there are people who make that realization and rightfully so are ashamed by it, and then like try to rehabilitate themselves for it, not act it out and stuff like that, try to get help. And I also don't think that they pick that. I think that like there are wires that are crossed, you know, it's between nature and nurture. I think there's either something that happened to them when they were a kid, because that was like one of the things whenever I'd gotten arrested for having weed on me once when I was underage.
Thank God you said weed.
Yeah.
Weirdest shift in a podcast of all time.
I know. But the dude that I had to go to this like drug therapist, and he was also a juvenile sex offender therapist. So,
which means the clients were juveniles.
Yes, the clients, they were kids, molesting kids is basically what, yep, it is. And in what a lot of times what happens, which is why the whole touch kids, you know what I mean? Where like,
yes,
people who are molested are more inclined to molest someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That mentality comes from like when you're little and something like that happens to you, it's at the time that you're learning what love is, what affection is, what, you know, what all of those feelings are. And then if you get something fucked up, if you have a person that's like showing you, oh, like somebody that loves you, mm-hmm, is touching you inappropriately, and then you're associating that with love, then later on as you grow up, then that's what you're going to think. You're going to, mm-hmm, think that, oh, that touching people, like regardless of their age, that's how I show someone love, you know? So that's just like one example. I mean, there's plenty of other things. Like they've, you know, if they found a blip in people's brains, like brain scans for like serial killing and stuff like that. And I'm certain that there's something similar when it comes to like,
probably, but
yeah,
my guess is that blip is present in more than people who are serial killers.
Sure.
And then it just can develop into it. And the same thing with that. I will say this is totally anecdotal, and I didn't have that many cases, but every case I had or was associated with as a public defender with, mm-hmm, a child molester,
yeah,
at the very least claimed to have been molested.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's possible that now that knowledge is more universal,
sure,
people are like, I'll just say that and I'll get an easier sentence or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's probably true to some extent, or I won't get the death penalty depending on what you did. But,
right.
But I believe that it's true because it's also like, well, where does it come from?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now we got to wonder, where did it start?
Right.
But still, there's clearly.
Well, the problem with it is because it's so heinous and, mm-hmm, people get so like cut off their dicks and kill them about it,
yep,
that we don't know enough.
No.
You know, we don't have enough psychological research on that.
And
you know?
Many people accuse anyone in that world who's trying to do research on it of being.
Being one of those
in
people.
That world,
yeah.
You know,
if
what
you
I
look
mean?
Into it,
yeah,
then it's obviously because you like it. And you're trying to fix yourself.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I understand. But I'm just saying, like in the less extreme, if you're into something specific, you know, it's not like because every the point that I always made it in the joke about it was like every fuck I've ever met always carried like an obscene amount of shame about it, and, mm-hmm, I think it's the same thing where somebody would like make fun of you for you liking this one thing. They,
right,
they treat it like it's, you know, Ghostbusters with all the girls in it. Like,
right,
oh, you like that? Ugh.
Well, yeah, there's different types of shame, too. There's, like, you're a freak shame, which I would imagine,
mm-hmm,
the eyebrows guys would get some of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's religious shame, which, you know.
Yeah, all that repression, I think that makes things way worse.
And then there's I don't know what to call it, aesthetic shame. I don't think anyone thinks you're a freak or would religiously shame you if you were like, just as an example, into very big women. Mm. But you would get made fun of. Like, I remember being in the locker room, you know, in college, and it was like, oh, you fucked a fat girl last night. Mm-hmm. And it genuinely never occurred to me because I was so stupid myself. I thought it was dumb. I was like, I definitely like was mature enough to be like, why are you making fun of that guy? Mm-hmm. But I genuinely never had the thought, maybe he's into him. I really just was like, ah, he got drunk. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
I was too, I guess, narcissistic to think, what if that's what he likes? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Then you get on the internet, like the big women tab, very popular.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Very popular.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is it's like then it becomes fetishized because they don't feel like they're allowed to, you know, have the thing that they want without shame.
Some people like the fetishization, though, because I do think that, and the most common version of this in the stand-up world, a lot of jokes about, man, now they legalized weed, I don't even want to smoke it as much as I used to.
Oh, yeah, because it's not bad anymore.
And now I get to this very, very, like, what's the word, when they clean something, sanitized store with all these name brands and Snoop Dogs in there. I used to meet a guy in an alley.
Yeah. You know,
the jokes were corny, but the point was kind of fair.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something to do with that, though, a little bit of sex, because there is something for me who was religiously shamed a lot.
Yeah.
I'm kind of into anything I'm not supposed to do.
Sure.
And, like, that can be a problem.
Sure.
For a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
just like lost into like just wrong. Can we just do wrong? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think what's the cool thing about being an adult is you can figure out a way to get that feeling legally or, you know, with your partner. You don't have to like
consensually legally in a way where you don't feel
you don't have to cheat on somebody to fucking feel bad like you're doing something bad, because there's also like that element of it too, or like getting caught, all that shit. Because I mean, it's obvious that it's
more
a common thread.
Me. I don't know why I just got really uncomfortable. I feel like people think I'm cheating or something.
It's
more taboo for me than the cheating stuff.
Yeah, no, I didn't think that at all. I was talking about it in another context as well. People like being bad or whatever. Because it comes in all different forms. But it's obvious that it's way more common than we imagine, or otherwise it wouldn't be a category.
Yeah.
You know, it would be so niche.
Right.
You would have to like look it up on the dark web yourself.
It would be furrowed.
Yeah, yes, it would be.
You think he did something weird in bed one day, and a girl looked at him confused with bushy eyebrows, and he nutted like right then.
Maybe
like, that's what it was.
Oh, that like post that clarity that or whatever that people get, just like, oh, I think I like eyebrows.
Yeah, or maybe it was like a real stern mother, you know, back in the day with the fur, the bushy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like, because my dad told me since I was fat, nobody was ever going to love me. Maybe that, like, in my head, I kind of always think my initial thought, my knee jerk reaction is to think that somebody's just trying to like fuck me and leave or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is it's probably created an unnecessary lack of trust, I guess, where I'm being fetishized, even though I don't want to. But the other thing, too, is especially, and this is just based my context of talking to men about this a lot, is plenty of men don't mind being fetishized. Like they don't mind it at all.
No,
you know, that's why there's a lot of black dudes that move to Denver, because then they're like exotic and you know, he's like a white girl that teaches him about Greek yogurt and shit. And he was just like, yeah, you know, like, and
I see other black guys at the bar, and instead of like doing the regular nod, they do the no.
Yeah.
All these yoga bitches. I don't think guys mind very much, generally speaking, being fetishized. Obviously, there's some exceptions as far as guys and situationally. Mm-hmm. And I genuinely think that's part of the problem in terms of men objectifying women.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million other reasons we do it. And the main one, of course, being we can and we get away with it and we're allowed to get away with it. But I do think that on a base level, as far as not trying to be a horrible person, I definitely used to objectify the shit out of women when I was like in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think a lot of that was, I hope they do it to me. Know what I mean? I can remember being in high school. This is going to get real weird.
Okay.
Jacking off to the thought of girls who I thought were hot masturbating to me. Like, I wanted to be objectified.
Got it.
By older
but
girls.
I think that's also a societal pressure thing, where guys aren't allowed to be like, because you have to be, having to be an alpha and having to be like the strong man and blah, 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 blah. And like, And like low key, you usually don't find out until you get closer to someone or even intimate where they're like, I want you take me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that was a good impersonation
of me. No, I didn't mean you. I just mean because they feel like a little like, I don't know if it's shame or like they get coy about it, but like, it's just, I think it's because they feel like it's not allowed, or like maybe that's part of that taboo thing.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be in control. Like I see that in, you know, cause my sister was really big in the BDSM community and all of those power dynamics and shit like that were constantly being discussed. And,
yeah.
And so it's like a lot of times it's, you know, and that goes to extremes, you know, where you have somebody flogging the shit out of you or, you know, putting hooks in your back or whatever. Like that's, you know, it can get as much as you want, but even in the most basic level, like you could see a couple's dynamic and you could even make the assumption, oh, you're the top or whatever.
Yeah.
And be way off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was always like fun to me. Whenever I'd meet my sister's friends, it would be like, okay, which one's which?
Yeah, you know?
And that's the thing about me is, and I don't know if this is also because of the chemical imbalance or what, but I'm a switch. I go back and forth, you know, I'm pretty outwardly, assertive and shit like that. But then sometimes I also, you know, I go both ways.
Outwardly assertive. I never thought that about you.
You sold it so good. I was like, wait a second. Did you forget who I am?
Andy's been giving me acting lessons. I'm going to get better.
Yeah, you are.
I'm just using it to lie, apparently.
Yeah, that's all acting is lying.
Yeah, don't let her hear that. She's in the kitchen. She's going to get very offended. And all comedy is tricking people and manipulating.
Yes. Both things are true. It's acting. It's acting and playing pretend real hard. I get it.
I want to say a few things or maybe have some questions. Well, first of all, let me say, I'm very interested in this. There's a generational thing, too, with sexual shame, taboos that. And I'm not saying any generation's figured it out, but things have changed over the years.
Yeah. And I think it's progressive. Mm-hmm. I think it's going in the right direction. I think. Like that's what we're seeing another 60s in the sense that there's like this kind of like little bit of a sexual revolution. And this is just more gender. And I think there's more like it's more gender centric. And I also think it's more sexuality is just becoming more fluid. And I think it's the less men specifically, because men are usually the ones doing the murdering, the less people are killing people for being different, the more people are being free.
Yeah. Well, I've never killed anyone. I'm a hero, but,
nice. Oh, thank you.
But you're right. But there's this other weird boomerang where as objectification and trying to end it has become more important to people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a weird prudishness apparently. Now this is not something I know firsthand, but I've seen a lot of people talking about it on the internet, and I've read a few articles about it. Apparently younger kids are having a lot less sex and they're a lot more prudish about things, including their bodies. Now, some psychologists and sociologists are like, well, part of that is like you could do a wet t-shirt contest and not end up on the internet, you know, in the early 2000s and before.
Mm-hmm.
So part of that is we're living our lives online. But there does seem to be in the progressive, in the leftist world, some strange like sexual shaming going on. Like under the guise of, you know, we got to fight objectification or whatever. And it's like, well, look, some women want to be objectified. Some people want that.
Mm-hmm.
I follow a lot of sex workers. That's where I'm learning a lot of this.
Gotcha. Yeah. For sure. Because, I mean, I even do a joke about that's a feminism and then it's a choke fucking at the end of it. And it's just like having that whole, I want you to treat me like a person and then fuck me like you're going to kill me, you know.
Yep.
And both of those things are okay. And I think that's where it's weird. The younger people thing, I think, is everything being overly sexualized. So the oversaturation, overexposure, I think it's like, I think that's being bad, is like being prudish is a way to rebel against that.
Oh, interesting.
I think you're always going to have that.
And it sucks, though. And I don't mean it sucks because they're not going to fuck. I mean, it sucks to think about kids rebelling by becoming more like little C conservative.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to have other effects.
I mean, that's kind of happening with lefties in general, like
sure.
the free speech thing.
Well, we're also very uncool. Mm-hmm. Like, the internet made us uncool, and that was unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because we became the don't do that people.
Right, right, right.
And
so it's always been the other side that was like that. And we were the cool punks that did whatever the fuck we want, and we were free.
Right.
And so it's weird. We're in a really weird spot right now where I think, but ultimately, I just, I think, I don't know. I don't know. I guess as far as the sexual part goes, the prudish thing, I think it's that. I think like when you're watching DP and you're 13 and horrified by it. Yeah. I guess I would be nervous about you know, I think that has something to do with it. And, I also think that with more and more people on pharmaceuticals and like drugs for their mental, like
sex drives.
Not even just that, but like also all the antidepressant meds and stuff like that. Some people said they're putting their kids on that stuff like super early on. So from a young age, they're just less interested in sex in general because of how those things affect your body.
Yeah, it affects your sex drive for sure. It also, this is a weird but true thing. You know, being depressed and anxious leads people to do things like that includes sometimes sex, going out and getting drunk, and then and that's probably good if they're doing less of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we've rapped about the younger generation. Now let's go to older generation.
Sure.
Because I have noticed, or I feel that when I talk about sex openly, or I see other people doing it, even our progressive fan base or progressive people I fuck with on Twitter can just be like, America has this weird type thing about people being open about their sexuality. We love the label. We love to hear that someone's gay,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to hear what that entails in their own life.
Right.
You know what I mean? We love to hear that you and your wife have this, like, I don't know, whatever relationship. But if you talk about it specifically, we had an episode about that on Well Read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited and interested to hear how our fans are going to react to, just as an example, Trey Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this guy who is, of course, is legitimately great and funny, but they've got him on a bit of a pedestal.
Sure.
Deservedly so, to some extent, a political pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like very excited and interested to hear folks hear him talk about his sex life. The files got corrupted. It was like,
oh no.
Yeah. And then we just never circled back to it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit interested. This isn't Trey, so it's going to be slightly different, but I'm a little bit interested in hearing their reaction to all this. They've heard a lot about Corey's sex life, whether he be jacking off to his own butt or a penguin.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I feel like the older generation is a little,
I think it was more repressive.
Right.
So sure.
Even for the hippies.
But even the hippies were just like, I think a lot of the hippies was a phase.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody was in Berkeley in college. That's when you're experimenting, all of that stuff happened. Like, and then people who weren't in college were just kind of capitalizing on it. You know,
My name's Larry. I'm in college.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a fucking scar from where like a pipe hit him in the face. I'm a sophomore. What are you fucking kids doing?
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, it's fine. Age doesn't matter. It's all love. All that shit. Like, so I think they're like, I think also older people still have that kind of, you know, because there's a lot of people that hated the hippies, that hated all that was just like, it's an abomination.
Well, that happens with any sort of sexual liberation movement where people who hate women or hate freedom or hate themselves or whatever phrase you want to throw on it will respond that way. And it's always wild to me. A lot of comedians have this take. It's become, I guess, a bit of a hack bit, but it is a good take, or it's a smart one, I think, where you're like, hey, man, why are you shaming women for getting their nipples out? Like, you do like titties, right? Like, which is it's like, that's not what it's supposed to be about.
Right.
But it's like, you clearly objectify women. This is clearly the kind of person you are, because if you say, put your tits away, that's gross, then you're treating them like an object anyway. Mm-hmm. You're already doing it.
Right.
So what kind of weird world are you crafting in your mind where you will objectify a woman, but then you don't want to enjoy them? You know what I'm saying?
Yes. But I also, on the other side of that, I hate the fake progressiveness of like, women should totally have their tits out. Yeah. I love that. But they're just being, you know, they're just enjoying it perversely, and not that she wants to feed her fucking kid.
Right. Or just like being nude in the park or whatever.
Well, and that's the other thing too, is it's I think it's based in our Puritan foundation of this country, in the sense that like sex and violence were put in the same kind of category, and that was the basis of everything that started here, you know. Whereas in Europe, you could have a woman that's doing the news topless and, you know, people are just watching it. It's not like porn, you know, because they're thinking about it differently. They're thinking about a naked body in a different context. It's not always sex,
right?
You know, and I think with the being indoctrinated with like all of the, you know, because the Puritans were the worst, you know, they were the worst.
They literally got kicked out for being nerds.
Yeah. They were like religious nerds, like hall monitors, like you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And so then they kicked them out and they came here and they're like, only hall monitors forever. And then, you know, then they would, they were partly responsible for burning all the women because they could float or whatever the fuck that shit happened in Salem.
They like cats.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. So it's just, I think that over time, and because, and I think that's also why we have more rape here than in a lot of other parts of the, like other parts of the world, is because sex is put in the same kind of category as violence and saw in the same way. Mm-hmm. So then you have, I mean, that's all rape is sex and violence combined together, right? Sure. So it's like, so I think that's part of it. And like, so then a lot of times people don't want to be associated, like, also another bit that I hear from guys all the time is like, she wants me to choke her. I'm not doing it, you know, like, and then I think that's another thing that's like a pressure on men where you have to be able to do this or you're a weak man.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's funny when a black guy does that.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking Hannibal's bit about being in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Remember that bit?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that 5 out of every 8 women have been sexually assaulted? Do you know 1 out of 1 black dudes is walking away from this conversation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to think about, again, that's like thinking about it from the perspective of, you know, an oppressed person where it's like, okay, you could be endangering me. Cause I don't know if you know the history of people falsely accusing black men of rape,
yes,
for hundreds of years. So it's like, yeah. Yeah. All those slave owners' wives.
Mm-hmm. 2 takes that I have that I am most uncomfortable sharing on social media. I've shared them both before, but I'm always like this. I don't know if I want to do this. And we've hit them today. Mm-hmm. One is that we should, for ourselves and for a better society, have a lot more empathy for pedophiles, because what we are doing, shaming them, is not working. And they're using it against us. And ones who are evil, and they're hiding in plain sight because we've made the rules, these 3 things. Well, they just don't follow, you know, they don't break those rules.
Sure.
And the other one is, I don't think you can believe all women. Like, you can believe most of them. I know where that phrase comes from.
We're in the middle of an Amber Heard trial where that's a mockery of. Well, my problem with that specifically is when you have women like that, I feel like it hurts women's credibility. No,
she has hurt the Me Too movement.
Yes. Yeah,
I did put that out there and got some people were like down with that point. I you know, Burr had that bit, like, can we believe 85% of them? Like, obviously that's pedantic, but he was just making a joke.
Mm-hmm.
My experience in the public defender's office was definitely that, and it was so wild. So many men will get away with domestic violence or sexual assault because someone doesn't believe the woman, or she gets cold feet about prosecution. So she starts saying, I'm not sure, or she's just scared. And in my head, in my heart, even though this is my client, I'm like, he did this shit. This is fucked up.
Yeah.
But I also saw the flip of that a few times. You know what I mean? Where you're like, you are just making this up. This is wild.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to enter the foray of that when it was first becoming a thing as a white man, because it was like, number one, being in the justice system, I know cops don't believe women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they made that the phrase. You know what I mean? Believe all women.
Yeah.
Because women are so used to not being believed, they don't talk about it, they won't be open about it.
Sure. I mean, sometimes it's like from your own family. If you're like, hey, something happened to me, and they're like, no, don't. And fuck you for even accusing someone in our family of something like that. Like, sometimes it's like so personal, like and close. Then that applies just to the rest of the world. Yeah. We're just like, nobody would ever believe me if I said anything anyways, you know? So having to carry that around is fucking brutal, and it's the worst.
It's also like, these lives get so messy, and this is not an excuse for any type of behavior, but these lives get so messy, it's hard to come up with slogans that like fit everything and how you do
it.
Example, and I could be wrong. Everything I know about Amber Heard and Johnny Depp comes from Andy telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very much in the belief that Amber Heard is lying.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I looked at the pictures with the nose thing, and people were like, this is supposed to be a broken nose. I think he broke her nose. Now, I'm not saying anything else happened. I also think she did wild shit. She might have shit in his bed. She probably hit him a few times. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems to me that two insane people got into a relationship.
A coke-addled relationship. Yeah.
And shit got bad. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't excuse or
either one of their behaviors.
Condemn it's anything. Still it just is what it is. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's why these slogans are tough. But it's hard to, like, I'm not going to come out against it, you know, and be like, well, in my experience, I'm not sure we should believe all women. It's not just like, I don't know, professional protection. It's also like, well, I understand the point of that slogan. I understand we're trying to swing a fucking pendulum.
Yeah, it's an overcorrection so that we can make any kind of progress, I think. But yeah, it's believe all women. So you start believing some of them, you know?
Yeah.
You have to overstep in order to, because that's the other problem too, is like, the thing is like everyone knows how much mental illness we have in this country. You know, of course, some people are lying, you know, because some people are compulsive liars and some people are manipulative and some people are narcissists. And they have all of these things that contribute to people, you know, leading them to or on drugs, you know, leading people to make shitty decisions as, you know, because I know someone. It was a comedian that hooked up with someone from the wait staff from a club, which you should never do.
Never.
Cardinal rule. And then she was like, if you want, she wanted him to be together, and he just thought they just wanted to hook up. And then she threatened. He showed me the screenshots of the text messages of this woman going like, if you don't stay with me, then I'm going to tell everybody that you raped me.
Was this in New York?
It was in Indiana.
I've seen screenshots of a similar thing in New York.
Yeah.
But I think you know her. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Off top.
You know, for sure. And so then I was like, okay, well, why don't you bring this out forward? And then it was also like, there's dudes that just don't want to contribute to being like women are liars either.
Yeah.
So there's dudes who want to help the cause. And by doing that, what they're doing is being falsely accused. Cause he got run out of the town. He doesn't do stand up anymore. Like the whole thing, she ended up like, she got knocked up. He ended up having to stay with her and like raise the kid and stuff like that. Cause even though he was like, I don't want to have a baby with you, you're obviously fucking nuts. And all his, so his whole life got determined from that, which is, you know, that's an extreme case of the other side of it. And that sucks.
I want to do a series. We could do it together. No, because then you just be my cover. But misogynist things my dad said that are true.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your dick in crazy, son.
But so many men love that.
Well, yeah, it's fun. Yeah, but that dude did that, and now look.
Yeah.
He got a baby.
Yeah, he's got a baby.
I hope he listens to this episode. I hope he follows you, and he's like, oh, my friends.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And he's like, that's true.
I feel pretty comfortable saying this, because what do I have to lose? One of the reasons Kurt Metzger got so like, well, what proof do we have about that guy who got run out of? This is a very like insider New York comedy thing, but it kind of made national news. There was that guy.
Yeah, that's why he's called a rape apologist.
He's literally called a rape apologist because there was a guy who did rape a girl and then sexually assaulted a few more at what's that improv
UCB.
Thing?
Mm-hmm.
UCB.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 2 months before that all went down, someone told Kurt, if you don't do certain things, I will do this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, straight up told him, like if you don't do certain things in the comedy world for me, I'm going to tell everybody you rape me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use this as proof, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's it happening to him is why he turned the other way.
Of course.
Where he was like, are we sure? And people were like, we're pretty sure, Kurt. He's like, oh, we can't be sure. And it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy. Dark and heavy.
I know. Sorry. You want to lighten it up?
No, I think, let's lighten it up before we get out of here, but I don't want you to be sorry because I'm basically certain that was on me. It happens every time I'm left to my own devices. But we are but mere peasants here. We're not gallivanting with royalty across the pond.
Mm-hmm. I'm not leaning my groin up so it looks like Big Ben's my dick or whatever. I'm not having this.
Oh, yeah. I know those pics. Yeah. Did they do that? I didn't see that.
I don't know. I'm just saying that's what people do.
Yeah.
Big Ben or whatever.
And they try to hold
I guess
up
I would
the
do the Louvre, right? Because it's like kind of like a thing, you know, that I could put like my two fingers over it. Like,
yeah,
it's my gap. It's my pussy. drive through it.
Your arm would go through it. There's no place you, no vantage point you could get where your arm wouldn't be going in front of your clit when you went to rub the clit, because the lube's behind you. You couldn't.
Oh yeah, you have to be.
You have to literally be able to reach over the lube.
Yeah.
This is much lighter. We're trying to figure out, trying to figure out how to make the lube and the pussy fix. Start with the St. Louis Arch, okay? It's a lot more continental.
It's way more real estate. Way more real estate to cover. I feel like that's more of a gaping butthole than a pussy.
That's one thing we do want to hear from you guys on if you hear this episode.
Is your asshole gaping? That's what we want to hear in the world.
We want to hear what you think famous objects look like. Most of them are dicks, mm-hmm. you know? Now, there's one I'll push back on a little bit. I realize it's because of the patriarchy and phallic and all that. It's also just the easiest way to build a thing. Is it not? Am I just a bad architect? Is the patriarchy so deep inside me, I believe a tower is easier to build than a fucking arch?
I think it, well, our structures here are all based on like 1930s architecture.
Yep.
And ever since then, we've just been carbon cup. And that those have all just been blocks mm-hmm. because it's easier and cheaper.
Yeah.
But like all the architecture, you know, in Europe, it's not all just towers. You know, okay. Look at the rest of the shit there. Like, look at the... What's it called? It was just in Spain, and like it's basically now a post office, but it was a cathedral, like not yeah. a cathedral, a palace. And go ahead.
You just reminded me of something. Hmm. Do you know where cardinal rule? You said cardinal rule. Do you know where that comes from?
I would imagine from the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but do you know what it's about?
No, what's it about?
It's about molestation.
The cardinal rule is what?
To move them if they get caught, if they're a cardinal.
What?
I made that up.
Man, I totally believe that. Yeah. I totally believe that.
Well, when you said it, I was like, where'd that come from? And then I was like, I'm going to try my new acting skill out of there. Such a troll. And a
two for two. Good job.
Nailing it.
Good
man.
Job.
If comedy wasn't just about tricking people, I'd be a lot better at it. Dandy. I'd be so much better at it. And acting. Yeah, actually, I'm throwing it at you, too. If that's all acting was, I'd be booked, Carmen. Because I'm great at it, apparently.
You are?
Two for two.
I mean, it's been a minute, you know?
That's true. Also, you're not a casting director.
No, I'm
They're
not.
Trained for yeah. that. Yeah. Ah, he's not a good liar.
Mm-mm.
Uh-huh. Well, you want to wrap this up?
Okay.
Plug me some dates. Where are you at? You got anything? I know you just got off the road.
I'm always in a varying state of the road.
Yeah.
please come and see me. I'll be at the Crocodile June 4th.
Where's that at?
That is in Seattle, I'm pretty sure.
You need to tell the city.
Yeah.
People just like, all right, the Crocodile.
Let's go to the Crocodile. New Frontier in Tacoma, I think, is the 5th. Central Comedy, which is in Seattle as well, on the 2nd. I'm in, I probably should.
You can pull it up if you want, or I can plug it in the thing in post. You don't go ahead and look it up, and I will talk about my own for a minute.
Oh yeah, tell me where are you going to be? Are you going
June 1st, I'm going to be at Zany's Nashville. DJ's going to be opening for me.
Oh hell yeah!
June 4th, I'm going to be in Asheville. DJ's mm-hmm. going to be with me. I'm going to do Comedy Bar or Beauty Bar.
Ooh, Asheville. That's a fun one.
It's fun. It's small. I do think it'll sell out, and I'm not going to add a second show. The reason why is I think I'm going to do the Grey Eagle there in the fall. If
okay.
I can organize that, my gal Melissa is setting that, both those shows up. And then I'm going to be in Chattanooga opening for DJ, I think is the plan, on the 10th. And mm-hmm. Good Cop, Rad Cop will be there.
Nice.
And then 11th, and then I got Bonnaroo, and then I'm going to New York. I thought and then Birmingham, Alabama, the 22nd at Avondale Brewing with Wes Horn. You know Wes Horn?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, you got to know Wes Horn.
Oh, I know the name. I don't think I know the person.
He was out here, and I think he left right before you came.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a
bad. Yeah, because I remember that. I've heard that name before. I don't know if it's from you, but I've heard that name before. July 9th, I'm going to be at the Neptune Theater with Ron Funches.
Nice.
Cobbs Comedy Club, July 9th with Ron Funches.
I love Cobbs.
And then I'll be at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in Las Vegas, August 8th through 14th. Traverse City Comedy Club in Traverse City, Michigan, August 19th and 20th. I'll be at the 10,000 Laughs Comedy Festival, October 6th through 8th in Minneapolis, Comedy Fort in Fort Collins, November 4th and 5th, CarmenMorales.com for all of your Carmen Morales needs. And please, 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 please watch my fucking set on HBO. Entrenos.
Watch the shit out of it. And please, please, please come see me and DJ, you know, those of us who aren't abroad.
Yeah.
And Will Red's off for a bit. So if you want to see me, you need to come to these shows. And I need money. Like,
yeah.
If you don't even like me, you like Andy, though. Do you like Andy? Do you want her to eat? come to my comedy shows, Nashville, Asheville, Birmingham, and Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. And I've got Knoxville coming down the pipe. I've got Huntsville coming down the pipe. I've got Athens and Atlanta coming down the pipe, our buddy Joe Pettis. Mm-hmm. And then I might end up doing a Midwest run. I'm definitely doing Denver at some point. Well, anyway.
Denver's super fun.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I'm going to do that Boulder show.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
I love that one.
That's at the end of July, like July 31st-ish. Mm-hmm. Well, you feel good? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Are you good?
I'm good. All right.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah. Love you, Carmen.
Love you, too. Bye.
Thank y'all for listening to the Well Read Beard. Sorry you missed Corey and Trey, but they ain't here. So tune in next week if you like listening to me. Thank you, God bless you, and fuck the queen. Fuck the queen, old bitch.